الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله. أما بعد، حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to the translation of the khutbah of today, which is titled by the duties of the 10 days or of the month of the Hijjah. After khutbah al-Hajja, يرحمك الله. After khutbah al-Hajja, I said, all people, in these days of the Hijjah, the Muslims are of two categories or types. One is those who are going for Hajj. And these ones, we can categorize them into three categories. The first one are those who are going for Hajj Tamattu, who intended to go and visit the house of Allah in Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah and Hajj in the same journey. Those people, once they arrive to Mecca, they are going to perform tawaf and sa'i for Umrah. And after they finish their sa'i, they do haircut and stay halal. We mean by that, they can put on their clothes, enjoy their wives, use perfume, live normally like they were before in entering into the state of ihram. But with one condition, that they don't travel back to where they are residents, regardless where they are originally from. If they are from India, for example, or America, or Yemen, or Medina, or Riyadh, they should not go back to where they live, even if they are from outside the kingdom, but they are here residents for work. They are considered to be residents. So these type of people should not go back after the Umrah of Hajj to their hometowns. They should remain staying in Mecca. But for those who come from outside or come from other than Mecca, and from, who come from outside, if for example you are from India and your father came from India and you are staying here in Jeddah working, you are residents of Jeddah, and you both intend to do Hajj this year. He came end of the Qa'dah or beginning of the Hijjah to Mecca for performing the Umrah of Tamattu, and you intend to perform Umrah of Tamattu too with him. After this Umrah, he will come out of his ihram, but you cannot. You will have to remain in your ihram until you finish your Hajj. Many people make mistakes here. They receive from airport, they receive their relatives, and they put on their ihram like them. They go together to Mecca. They perform the Umrah, and both of them come off the ihram and come back to Jeddah, for example, where this man is living and working. And they stay until the 8th of the Hijjah, they go to Mina. For the one who comes from outside, that is okay. For the one who is working here, that is not. That is not okay. His tamattu in this case is cancelled. And he is now performing ifrad, not tamattu. He is receiving reward of ifrad, not reward of tamattu. So this must be understood well. And the second are people The second category are people, category of those who are going for Hajj, are people who came to Mecca with the intention of doing, or yeah, with the intention of Hajj and Umrah, but in one act, not in two acts. Not Umrah separate from Hajj. No. The intention is one. The intention is two. The action is one. The first one, the mutamatti'in, intention two, action two. Here, Quran, no. Intention, intention two, action one. What are they going to do, or what should they do? Once they come to Mecca, they are going to do tawaf called tawaf al-qudum, tawaf of arrival to Mecca. This tawaf, the ruling of it is not like the tawaf of the first group. First group who are tamattu, their tawaf is a pillar of Umrah. But this tawaf is sunnah. If they do it or they don't, no problem. If they do it, they are going to be rewarded. If they don't, there is no sin. But if they don't do tawaf, they cannot do sa'i alone. Sa'i must be after tawaf. So this type of people, the mutamatti, the qarin, will perform tawaf and sa'i. The tawaf is sunnah and the sa'i is for hajj in advance. That sa'i is for hajj, but he's doing it in advance. After he finishes his tawaf and sa'i, he cannot have a nail cut. He cannot change his clothes. He cannot have a nail cut. He cannot enjoy his wife. They will stay in their state of ihram until they finish their hajj. The third category of people, this category, the second, which is qarin, who can do qiran? Who can do hajj qiran? Only three people can do Hajj Quran. One is the person who brings his gurba animal with him, whether from his homeland or he buys it before Mecca. Even if you buy it from Jeddah and take it with you, you are now in Quran. If you take it from before the Miqat, if you are from the people of Jeddah and you buy it from Jeddah, then you are doing Quran. Yeah? This is one. And these people are doing Hajj like Rasulullah. Because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it is not that I have brought my qurbani, my hadi, I would have came out of ihram like you. But whoever came with his qurbani, with his hadi, then he cannot come off his ihram. That's what Rasulullah said. And he confirmed it to Ali when Ali came with the camels from Yemen. He told him, as long as you brought your qurbani, your hadi, then you cannot come off the ihram. But Fatima, his wife, came off the ihram because she did not bring. Ali, Rasulullah Sallam, because Ali came and found Fatima out of ihram. She put perfume. He asked her, how come you do that? She said, my father told me. He went to her, encouraging him to stop Fatima doing what she's doing. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, yes, I told her. Meaning with all the people who did not bring their hadith. But tell me, Ali, what did you intend to do Hajj? He said, I intended my Hajj the same of the Hajj of Rasulullah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said to Ali, then stay in your ihram. Stay in your ihram. Do not come out of it until we finish the Hajj, meaning we do tawaf al-ifada. So Ali, the husband, stayed in ihram after tawaf and sa'i. Fatima, the wife, came off the ihram. How? Why? It is as we said, Ali brought the hadi, the qurbani, but Fatima did not. So whoever come with the hadi cannot come off of the ihram. That is one type of Quran. Second type of Quran is like Aisha. Aisha came with the intention of tamattu. She wanted to come and do tawaf and sa'i and then come off the ihram. But Rasulullah ﷺ told her no. Why? Because she had the menses before doing the tawaf and sa'i. She had menses. She had the blood. So Rasulullah ﷺ told her not to do tawaf and sa'i. Tawaf. He did not allow her for tawaf. So she stayed until some days she was cleared of menses, but they are already there in Arafat. Like Aisha, now her intention at the beginning was tamattu, but because of this situation, the menses, it is automatically converted to qiran. Whether she likes or she doesn't. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. The third type of Quran is somebody who came from his homeland to do Hajj, but when he came to Arafat, he found the people already moved to Muzdalifah. It is already night. This case is like the case of a companion called Urwa ibn Mudarris. He came from Tay. Tay is Hail today in the north. But when he came to Arafah, he did not find nobody. He stayed there for a while and then he went to Muzdalifah. And he prayed Fajr with the Prophet ﷺ in Muzdalifah. Then he asked Rasulullah ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, I came from Tay, climbing every mountain I met, crossing every valley I came through. I become tired, my camel become tired. Meaning it is very hard journey. Is there any Hajj for me? But I came found the people already in Muzdalifah. I did not catch people in Arafat. Is there any Hajj for me? Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, anybody has prayed, has done the Fajr prayer in Arafat, in Muzdalifah, in time, and he has already stayed in Arafat even a short time in the day of Arafat or in the night of Muzdalifah then he has performed Hajj. And this hadith is authentic. So this is the three types of Quran. Now we already spoke about tamattu and Quran. What remains is something called Ifrad. Ifrad is for Hajj alone. They do exactly like the Quran in the actions, exactly like the Quran. But the difference is the Quran will have to slaughter a sacrifice animal there in Hajj. Hadi. The Mufrid does not have to. He does not have to. Now they already, all of them, in Mecca, the Tamattu has done Tawaf and Sa'i for Umrah and come off the Ihram. The Quran and the Mufrid already done Tawaf Qudum and Sa'i Hajj and they are staying in their Ihram. Whatever day they came, middle of the Qa'da, end of the Qa'da, beginning of the Hijjah, until the day number eight of the Hijjah, which is called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. They move, all of them, three of them. But the mutamatti' in that day in the morning need to put on the ihram again. Take shower, put perfume, and put the ihram, and say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj. And then, three of them, mutamatti', qarin, mufrid, they all move to Mina and pray Dhuhr there. Pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Hijjah. And then Fajr of the night. They pray each prayer in its time, no combination. No combination in Mina. In Mina, every prayer must be prayed in its time. But the four rak'ah prayer must be shortened to two rak'ah. That is part of the rituals of Hajj. That is not for travel, not shortening for travel. No, that is part of the Hajj. This means people who live in Mecca, whether Saudis or non-Saudis, they are living there, working. A Bangladeshi living in Mecca, he is from the people of Mecca. Egyptian living in Mecca, he is from the people of Mecca. American living in Mecca, he is from the people of Mecca. Anybody living in Mecca is from the people of Mecca. They also have to shorten the four rak'ah prayer into two in Mina. Also in Arafat and Muzdalifah. Because this is not for the travel. This is for the ritual. This is a ritual of Hajj. Now, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to lead the prayer in Hajj. No one reported that the Sahaba who were from Mecca people used to shorten, used to complete after he finishes the prayer in Mina or Arab or Muzdalifah. But in Mecca, he told them, he used to lead the prayer and he used to say, I am a traveler, I shorten two rak'ah, you all pray complete. But that is only in Mecca. He never said it in Mina, Muzdalifah, or Mina, Arab or Muzdalifah. So they, after they finish the Fajr prayer, they wait in Mina until the sun rises a bit. And then they move to Arafat. They move to Arafat. And they stay in Arafat until the sun, until it is Dhuhr time. They listen to the khutbah of the Imam. But it is only the Imam. Yes, no problem to have a translation from Arabic to whatsoever language, no problem. But to make in each compound a khatib, that is not sunnah. That is not from the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although there was a big number of people performed Hajj with him, he did not tell Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali, you go this side, you make khutbah, you go this side, make khutbah. No. He was the one who gave the khutbah. And of course, not everybody there could hear him. Huge number. Huge number. But he gave, and there was no speakers, as we all know. So, they stay there. After they, then they pray Dhuhr and Asr in the time of Dhuhr. They should not wait until Asr. No, in the time of Dhuhr. They pray Dhuhr and Asr. One Adhan and two Iqama. Each Salah, two Rak'ah. Each Salah, two Rak'ah. Silence. Even if it is Jum'ah. Because the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Arafah in Jum'ah. And he did not recite loud. Not like Jum'ah. Then what do they do at there? They should not go to the mountain of Arafah, or what they call it, Jabal al-Rahmah. No, that's not needed. Not needed. What is needed is to use the time. Use the time. Don't lose the time, but use the time. How? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he finished the prayers, he got on his camel, came to the mountain, he did not climb, he just was on his camel by the mountain, faced the Kaaba, raised his hand from that time, from Dhuhr until the sunset. Until the sunset. All that time he did not speak to nobody, he did not eat, he did not rest. He was just sitting like that on the camel, raising both hands, holding the rope of the camel in his hand so it does not go, and making dua all the time. How many hours? From, let's say, 1:30 or 2 o'clock. 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe. 4 hours or less or more, maybe some minutes less, some minutes more. He was doing that all the time, raising hand. And because he was raising hand, his muscles become tight, so the rope dropped. He did not put both hands down. He kept one hand up and he picked the rope with other hand. What does that mean? He did not want to lose any minute, any moment, just in dua. He did not give any dars. People today in Arabah give lectures, give durus. That's not correct. And sometimes I hear people giving political lectures there. Wallahi, about politics. Politics of today, that's wrong. Some people sleep, some people joke, some people play. That's not correct. That's not correct. You are not there for these things. It's a very valuable time. Maybe you don't come back to it. Maybe you die after this Hajj. So, use the time for what? For what Rasulullah ﷺ said. Look what he said in the hadith of Aisha. Now, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and authenticated by Albani, rahimahullah al-jami', he ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الدُّعَى دُعَاءُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. The best dua. Now we all look for accepting dua. طيب, that is the land of accepting dua. That is the time of accepting dua. Best dua is the dua of yom, of the day of Arafah. Now this is general for people in Arafah and outside Arafah. Like you in Jeddah, in India, in Africa, in wherever. And that day of Arafah, when the people are standing there in Arafah, you also use the time making dua. Making dua. Because this is time when Allah accepts the dua. Make dua for yourself, your family, your parents, your neighbors, your people, and also all Muslims. And give some dua to where crises are, like in Syria now, like in Palestine, like in Somalia, some places where crises, whether enemy, kuffar, or maybe natural crisis, like earthquakes or rain, heavy rain, or what like that. Make dua for your brothers. Now, and he said, وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون قبل عشية عرفة. And the best of what I said of the dhikr, what is that? What is the best dhikr in the day of Arafah? He صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling that to you. لا, not سبحان الله. سبحان الله, الحمد لله, الله أكبر, لا إله إلا الله أكبر, these days. But on the day of Arafah, he said, وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون قبل, the best of what I said and those prophets before me on the day of Arafah is لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Now is this something difficult to say? Everybody can say it. Everybody, even new Muslim, you just teach him these words, he can say it, no problem. It's easy, and it is the best, and it is the best. And you continue like that until the sun sets. When the sun sets and completely disappear, completely, you don't see it no more, then you move to Muzdalifah. When you come to Muzdalifah, if it is still time of Maghrib, then you pray Maghrib and Isha. One Adhan to Iqama, Isha to Rak'at. Maghrib, of course, no shortening. Because of the crowd and the big number of Hujjaj, and many times people cannot reach Muzdalifah in Maghrib time, maybe Isha time, maybe middle of the night, maybe after. So once you arrive there, if it is before Fajr, you pray, you wait until you reach Muzdalifah, you pray Maghrib and Isha. You do that early or late, depends on your arrival to Muzdalifah. Immediately after you do that, you sleep. You can't pray the witr, no problem. But don't spend the night praying night prayers or reading Quran or dua or dhikr. Rather to play. Many people play in Muzdalifah. Play. Take pictures. They go climb mountains. Take pictures. That's not the purpose of Hajj, ikhwan. It's not the purpose of Hajj. Yani somebody coming from Bangladesh to do Hajj, what does he need to prove for his family that I did Hajj? Take picture and give to them. Why? You did it for Allah. They know that you are in Hajj. They don't need to see you in picture in Muzdalifah. They don't know Muzdalifah. Most of them did not come for Hajj. You showed them a picture, how can they know that this is Muzdalifah? But Shaitan comes and tries to waste our time. These are best places, best times. Let's get advantage of it. Like Rasulullah did. He, Rasulullah, prayed Maghrib and Isha and slept right away. Until Fajr. Until Fajr. So you do like him and you sleep. Unless if you need to eat something, if you are hungry, if you are not, don't eat, because you know toilets, they're difficult. In Muzdalifah, very difficult. You maybe spend 1 hour, 2 hours in the queue. And later you see the toilets maybe already dirty, and better don't eat on that night. Take it from my experience. I've done many hajj. From experience, don't try to eat on that night. If you are really hungry, try to take some fruits, water, that's it. Many people intend or insist, no, they need murgi. They need akhi. It's one night. One night. And the consequence of eating is bad. The result of it is bad. You're going to have a stomachache and long queue, smell dirty, the place dirty. Why? Wait until a few hours in the morning, eat as you like. You go back to the tent, you have toilets, you go to Mecca, you have toilets. But on Muzdalifah, try to avoid eating. Try to avoid eating. Unless if it is necessary, as you said, you eat something. Eat something that doesn't harm. Like some fruits, drink water. Now, after that, after you pray Fajr there, you stand facing the Kaaba, facing the Qibla, raising your hands after you pray Fajr. Raising your hand, make dua. That's what Rasulullah did. Until the white light, not the yellow, not the sunlight, the white light that comes right after Fajr. It's only short time, very short time, maybe half an hour, lesser than. You make dua. This time is very, very beneficial in dua. Dua there is accepted. You make dua, and just before the sun rises, you move to Mina. You come back your stones, only 7 stones of that day. Only 7. Not all the stones of all days, but only 7. From Muzdalifah, or from the way, or from Mina, no problem. Or from Mina, no problem. But only 7 for that day. Then once you reach Mina, you better go direct to the Jamra. Stone it by 7 stones, making Kaaba on your left hand side and Mina on your right hand side. No problem to stand from any direction, but this is what Rasulullah did, saying Allahu Akbar with every stone. After you finish stoning, no dua. Jamratul Aqaba, the big Jamra, in all of the days there is no dua. No dua. Now those who are weak, old people, weak, and also who accompany them, who are with them, like their family, their sons, their brothers, their even the hujjaj who are with them in the same bus, they can leave Muzdalifah 1 or 2 hours after midnight. 1 or 2 hours after midnight. And once they reach Mina, even at night they can stone. Even at night. They even can go direct to Mecca before stoning. They can go to Mecca, perform tawaf, shave, and then come back to Mina, stone. Now, but better to go direct to Jamrat al-Aqaba, stone it, then shave, then go to Mecca. Then go to Mecca. Now, on that day, also, you need to slaughter if you are mutamatta or qari. Not necessarily on that day. You can slaughter on the 1st, on the 10th of the Hijjah, 11th, 12th, and 13th, but 13th before sunset. All those days, day and night, no problem. No problem, day or night. But the 13th, only day. Only day. The slaughtering must be either in Mecca or in Mina, not outside it. Not outside. Be careful. Don't go even 1 centimeter outside. Only in Mecca, any place in Mecca. Any place in Mecca. any place in Mina. Now, and slaughter. This animal that you slaughter, which is the hadi, which is part of Hajj, you eat from it, you give the poor, and even you give the rich, no problem. As we are going to say, inshallah. So, you stay in, and after you have performed tawaf and sa'i of na'am, after you stone, you go to Mecca. After you stone on the tent of the Hijjah, shave, change, take shower, change your clothes to normal clothes, put perfume, and go to Mecca. If you are mutamatti', you will have to do tawaf and sa'i. If you are qarin or mufrid and you already performed tawaf and sa'i at the beginning, you only need to do tawaf. If you did not perform tawaf and sa'i before, you need to do tawaf and sa'i that day. Then you come back to Mina. Stay in Mina all the day of 10. Fadda. Safa Marwa? For who? If he already done it before, no, no more. Only tawaf. Only tawaf. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A daytime, you can spend it in Mecca. But night time, no. Night time must be spent in Mina. If you don't have a tent in Mina, but you have friends' house in Mecca, or you yourself have a house in Mecca, no problem. You spend most of the night in Mina, and then go to Mecca, sleep, rest, until let's say Asr time, then come back to Mina. Stone, the Jamarat, 3 Jamarat, stay there until maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning, then you can go Mecca. No problem, because this is most of the time, halas. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go to Mecca and pray in Masjid al-Haram and come back to Mina. So the ulama say no problem, but of course it is better to stay day and night in Muzdalifah, in Mina. That's the Hajj. But if someone has no place, where can he stay? Where can he stay? If he has no place, but in Mecca he has, even if he doesn't have a house in Mecca, but he parks his car in Aziziyah, for example, he can't go, because Aziziyah is not from Mina, it's from Mecca. You still, in daytime, you can go to your car, sleep, rest, no problem. Under a tree, no problem. But that night time must be in Mina. The night time must be in Mina. That's why the ulama say, if you spend the night time outside Mina, you have to slaughter a sheep or a goat. Now, as a mistake you have done. Now, I don't say you have to. I say, who has carried his qurbani with him? That is called qiran. He cannot come out of qiran. No, that's not carrying. No, that's not carrying. Carrying must be carried. Today it is not possible to carry. Yeah, but that is the only case. Carrying is carrying. Not buying the voucher. No, buying the voucher is not considered to be carrying. You are not carrying it. Of course, yeah, you can, and it is better. Today, it is better to buy the voucher than to take your qurbani. Because you take it there, where you put it? Where you put it? Now, so when you come back to Mina, after doing tawaf and sa'i, or tawaf for those ifrad and qiran who has done tawaf and sa'i earlier, when you come back to Mina, what you need to do is, you stay there. Nothing to do. As Rasulullah Sallam said, the days of Mina are days of eating, drinking, and dhikrullah. Dhikrullah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Nothing else. There is nothing to do. But on the 11th, 12th, you can stone after dhuhr, not before. After dhuhr, not before. Because Rasulullah never stoned before dhuhr. So we follow him. He said, لتأخذوا عني مناسككم. Take your way of Hajj from me. So after Dhuhr you go stone. Not necessarily directly after Dhuhr because it's too crowded. Alhamdulillah, today we have 5 stories. No problem. Alhamdulillah, no problem. Even if you go after Dhuhr. Today, alhamdulillah, it is easy. Now, and it is extended until the following Fajr, just before Fajr. All the day, all the night is allowed. All. Better, the earlier the better. But if you leave it late, no problem. Especially for old people, women, people who have children, when they go early, it's difficult for them. Hard. Stoning on behalf of others, if those others are unable to stone. If they are unable to stone, then yes, it is permissible. But he begins for himself and then he stones for the other. Meaning, he stones the Jamra Sohra for himself, 7, and then he stones it, 7 for the one who in behalf. The dua he make only one time. And the like. Middle and the biggest, largest one. So now you stay in Mina. You stone after Dhuhr on the 11th and 12th. If you want to go on the 12th, no problem, but you must leave Mina before Maghrib. You must leave Mina before Maghrib. If you stay there until Maghrib, then you have to stay until next day. You have to. If you put your luggage on your vehicle and you start moving, but the jam held you, you cannot do nothing. What you can do? And then the sun sets, no problem, you continue, because this is not on your wish. Not on your wish. But if you stay until the 13th, that is better. More reward. If you stay until the 13th again, you will have to wait until Dhuhr, and then after Dhuhr you stone. Stoning on the 13th only up to sunset, not up to night, not up to Fajr. No, only sunset, because by the sunset of the 13th, Hajj is finished. Khalas, Hajj is finished. So you go to Mecca, whether on 12th or 13th, you go to Mecca. If you are not resident in Mecca, whether you are Saudi or not Saudi, but resident, I'm saying resident. If you are a resident of Mecca, living in Mecca all the year, working there or whatsoever, business, or if you are a resident of Mecca, you don't have to do tawaf wada. You don't have to. Unless if you are after Hajj, directly after Hajj, leaving Mecca, going to somewhere. Then yes. Because Rasulullah said, no one leaves Mecca until he performs tawaf wada. But if you are from the people who are living in Mecca, not necessarily to be Saudi. No. If you are living in Mecca, not necessarily to be Saudi, you don't have to do tawaf wada. If you are living outside Mecca, even if you are Saudi or somebody, because some people think that I am born in Mecca, khalas, I don't know. But he's living in Jeddah. Say, la akhi. You are now Jeddah man, not Mecca man. You are Jeddah man. You take the rulings of Jeddah people. If you are from India and you are living in Jeddah, you are Jeddah resident. All those who are living outside Mecca, even 1 meter outside Mecca boundaries, outside Mecca boundaries. Now Mecca is expanding. Don't say Mecca meaning the region of Mecca, la. Mecca means the boundaries that Rasulullah ﷺ assigned. Shumaisi, the Tan'im, Arafah, and yani from the south, a place called Awali. This is the boundaries of Mecca. So if you are living outside it, even if this district, this building, belong to Mecca governor, but it is not from Mecca boundaries. So these people have to perform tawaf wada, who are from outside. Whether they are Saudis or not, whether they are born in Mecca or not, regardless, they are living and they are residents outside of Mecca. Or even those who are from Mecca and living in Mecca, but they are intending right after Hajj, they leave Mina and go to Jeddah or Riyadh or America or India for anything, treatment, business, whatsoever. If he is intending to leave Mecca direct after Hajj, he has to perform Tawaf Wada, even if he is from people of Mecca. Now, so these are the way of stoning on the days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th, and 13th is, you begin from the small one, stone it with 7 stones, and then you take right ahead a bit, raise the Kaaba, raise your hand, and make dua. That's what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Then you come to the middle one, stone it, and then take left, opposite. And first the Kaaba, raise your hand and make dua. Stone the biggest one and no dua. Just a stone and no dua. Stoning in all days, with each stone you say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, with each stone. Stoning is a stoning. It's not putting it, and it is not yani shooting. It's only stoning, like that. Now, it is not necessarily to hit the wall. No, no, no. This wall was not there during the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This wall is only to show you the direction where to and stone. Not necessarily to hit it. Many people think, no, no, no. Oh, it did not hit. Replace it. No, that's not correct. That's not correct. He just told. If you carry spare stones, more than 7, and you finish the 7, don't throw the other. Say, okay, khalas, yani, they are extra, let me stone. La. One stone more is exactly like one stone less. That is haram. This is ibadah. He, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said 7 means 7. You cannot make it 6, you cannot make it 8. That's haram. It is like asr for rak'ah. You cannot make it 3, you cannot make it 5. Must be as he told you. Now, but because many people think they say they take a spare. No problem to take a spare. But okay, if you are sure you stoned 7, why you threw the others? You can throw them in the ground, no problem, but not through the, not as a stoning. Now, this was the first khutbah, and it was all as you hear about the Hajj. Now, in regard to Tawaf al-Wada', women, the woman who may have menses before Tawaf al-Wada', on the 12th of the Hajjah, she had the menses, she had the blood, before she go to Mecca. What can she do? We say, if you are coming with a company, and they are offering you some days in Mecca, and you think that within these days you can get free of menses, then you wait in Mecca until you get free of menses and take shower. No, she cannot stay. She has just got the menses on the 12th, and she has to leave now to her homeland, Bangladesh, India, Africa, wherever. What, we cannot say, no, you have to stay. It drops. No need for Tawaf al-Wada' for her. As Rasulullah Sallam told Safiya, his wife, radiallahu anha, he said, it is enough for you, the first Tawaf is done. But if she had the menses on the 9th or the 10th before she go for Tawaf al-Ifada, Tawaf al-Ifada is a pillar. She cannot drop it like Tawaf al-Wada'. What she can do, again, if she can stay in Mecca until she finish the menses and take shower and do tawaf, that's good. If she cannot, we ask her, where are you living? She says, Jeddah. She's Indian, she's not Saudi, but she's living in Jeddah with her husband. Okay, Jeddah means once you get free of menses, you can come back. Jeddah is closed, no problem. Or even Medina or within. But if she says, I cannot come back, I'm from India, from Africa, from wherever, I cannot come back. We can't say, no, you have to stay. That's not correct. That's not correct. You cannot say you have to stay. So what she does, she can put a yani barrier, نعم, and perform tawaf and go. Because she cannot leave tawaf, she cannot wait. What she can do? Islam is the religion of ease, not difficulties. Now she can put anything to stop the blood from coming to the clothes or the ground and go perform tawaf and go. That's what Allah Ta'ala allowed her and permitted her to do. That's her ability. Now, we cannot tell the group to go and her husband to go and she stay alone there. First, she will have no space to stay in. No place. No hotel, nothing. Second, she will have no flight later on. Third, she might be old woman. She cannot know where she goes. So that's not correct. We cannot put the people in hardship after Allah Ta'ala made it easy for them. As easy as they can do. Now, that's about as we said, the Hajj. The second khutbah was regarding those people who are not performing Hajj. Those who are not performing Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave them without any deeds that can yani bring them reward. No, he gave them. Hujjaj got their deeds and the non-hujjaj got their deeds too. What are their deeds? Isa sallam said, as in the hadith reported by Abu Dawud, is indicated by Albani, ma min ayyamin al-amal al-salih fiha habbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ashr. There are no any days in which the good deeds are more preferable to Allah, more beloved by Allah than these 10 days of the Hijjah. From the first till the 10th. Why? Because these are all days of good deeds. Now, they said, Ya Rasulullah, even jihad? He said, even jihad for the sake of Allah. Except for a person who takes all of his belongings, all of his wealth, and go for jihad, and he does not come back with anything. He dies there, and his wealth is gone. That is the best. Today, where we can do that? Where? Today, there is not possible to do that. Right? What does that mean? We cannot do nothing? La, there are good things. He said in the hadith reported in Muslim Ahmad, he said, ما من أيام أعظم ولا أحب إلى الله العمل فيهن العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر. He said there are no any days that the good deeds are more preferable and liked by Allah than these 10 days. And then he said فأكثروا فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحميد. He said then do as much as you can of تكبير الله أكبر. تهليل لا إله إلا الله تكبير الله أكبر تحميد الحمد لله. So we need to do that. Today people, you don't hear them doing that. Look to how the Sahaba, when they hear this, what they do. Today people are calling each other for fasting like if it is Ramadan and ignoring the dhikr. They are ignoring the dhikr. You don't hear the dhikr, but everybody is, are you fasting? Are you fasting? And I intentionally told my son to bring me the water on the minbar to show everybody that I'm drinking, I'm not fasting. Because everybody is thinking that these days are for fasting. No. There is one day certainly for fasting. That is the ninth. As in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحتسب على الله, about the ninth of the Hijjah. He said, fasting the ninth of the Hijjah, I hope Allah Ta'ala forgives for it the sins of the past year and the sins of the coming year. That is the ninth alone. Ninth alone. Now, not all the 10 days or 9 days. La. Only the ninth. Okay. The rest of the days, what can we do? As he said, there are many other good deeds. Sadaqah. Reading Quran, yani making dua or whatever. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, no, these days Making takbir, la ilaha illallah, Allah akbar, alhamdulillah, is better than reading Quran. Why? Quran you have all the year. But takbir tahmid, this is for this time. 10 days will go. The 10 days will finish. But Quran you can recite any time in the year. It does not mean don't read Quran. La, read Quran. But don't stop dhikr. Look how the Sahaba used to do. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, used to go out in the days, in the 10 days, used to go out to the market. They have no need for going to the market. They are not going there to buy or sell. Why they go? As in Bukhari, they go only to say loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. People hear and they all say. People hear them and they all follow them and say in the market. Today, what is the problem to say it in your work? When you are driving your car? When you are in the market? Even the pilot can say it. Can this disturb him? No. Dhikr cannot disturb. Dhikr can bring you tranquility. As Allah Ta'ala said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. By the remembrance of Allah, hearts get settled. You never get nervous with the dhikr. Never, never. If you are an engineer, you say the dhikr, you will do a good job. If you are a surgeon doing operation, if you say the dhikr, you will do a better job. Because you are pleasing Allah. So, let's now put this in our, I don't say culture, but I don't say habit, but let's be concerned about it. Dhikr, dhikr, dhikr in the house. Let the children hear you. Let the children hear. Now, people, when they hear it first, they will say, oh, what's happening? Why you are saying? You tell them, okay, in Bukhari, Abu Huraira ibn Umar used to do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best thing to do in these days is to do that. You know? And from the good deeds you do in these days is Udhiya, the Qurbani. That is one of the best things. Even if you are not, Udhiya is not for the Hujjaj. Hujjaj, they have something called Hadi. Udhiya is for the, other than the Hujjaj. And Udhiya should be, if it is from camels, should be 5 years and older, not younger. Cows, 2 years and older, not younger. Camels, maybe in your country is no camels, but you have many, plenty cows, and people love there to do cow, yani qurbani. Cow must be 2 years and older, not younger, as Rasulullah Sallam said. And from the goats, the goat is the crazy one, the jamza, the thin one, the crazy one. Is that the goat? Or the sheep? Which one is that? Huh? Sheep? The crazy one is the sheep? The young, the crazy one? Both lamb. Both are lamb. But one is sheep, one is goat. The sheep with wolf. Okay, that's different. Then the other one is the goat, as I said. The goat must be 1 year, not lesser. 1 year or older. The sheep, 6 months and older. Not younger than 6 months. Not younger than 6 months. And it must be free of all defects, like in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, radiallahu anhu, the Sunan and Musnad Ahmad, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said 4 defects make the Qurbani not accepted. What is that? When it is one eye. When the animal has one eye. Why? Because it cannot see the grass. It cannot eat well. It does not have good meat. The second is the ill one. The one which you can see. That's Anybody normal, not the chipper, normal people, the city people. City people usually don't know animals. But if the city man sees this animal and he says this animal is sick, then this type of animal is not accepted for Qurbani. Also, the limping animal, which why? Because she cannot run. When the others run for grass, so she cannot eat like them. Also, not sick, but the weak one, very weak, very thin, no meat. You slaughter it for bones? No meat on it. So these are four. You don't give sadaqah, you give udhiyah with. Now, and better not to be broken horn or cut ear. Better not to be. Now, the time to slaughter your qurbani or your udhiyah is after Salat al-Eid, not before it. Not before Salat al-Eid, as he said. From after Salat al-Eid until the sunset on the 13th of the Hijjah. Not after sunset of 13th. Now, the best is to be slaughtered in the city where you are staying in the time where when slaughtering. Not necessarily in the Eid. For example, maybe you've done Eid in Jeddah and you took your plane, gone to India. Okay, you better do it there, no problem. If you do it here, when you are here, no problem. If you do it there, when you are there, no problem. But also, it is no problem to, if you are here, tell your family there, slaughter, because more poor people there. Maybe your family in need for it. Maybe your family in need. No problem. But better to be in where you are staying. Better to eat from it. Eat. You don't just slaughter it and give it all sadaqah. Now, make it three shares. One share for you and your family. One share for the poor people. One share for other than the poor people, your neighbors who are not poor, your relatives who are not poor. No problem. Also, it is better to slaughter it by your hand, if you know how. Don't cause hard time for animal. You don't know and you give her a hard time. If you don't know, if you know how to slaughter, you better slaughter it and say, "Oh Allah, this is for me and for my family, my parents, whoever you want." Yes, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, definitely. Yeah, definitely. No, but I mean, Bismillah Allahu Akbar in Qurbani, in Walima, in normal time, butcher who want to sell meat, they all have to say Bismillah Allahu Akbar. All the time. But in the Udhiyah, plus Bismillah Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahumma, oh Allah, this is for me, as Udhiyah, for me and my family. Or if you want to include your parents, your whoever, no problem. You name them. Also, you can donate Udhiyah, another Qurbani, for anybody else. Parents, relatives, friends. You say, oh Allah, this one, for me, this one, for you are not allowed to give any of it to the slaughterer as a reward. You say, I don't have money, I'll give you some of the meat. Not allowed. If the butcher is poor, you give him his money, his reward, and also you can give him some of the meat, no problem, or the skin, or the head, but not as a reward, as a gift. As he is poor, you give him a sadaqah, no problem. Now, because many people say to the butcher, okay, you slaughter for me, I take half or take quarter. I give you no money. No, that's haram. That's haram. And the last of what I said in the khutbah is the best of what you do in these days besides the obligatory worships is to stay away from whatsoever displeases Allah. Sins. You stay away from the sins. You stay away from wasting money for no benefit. Wasting your time. Stay away from anything haram. That's the best of what you can do besides the obligatory worships. May Allah Ta'ala accept from us all and make the Hajj for those who perform Hajj easy and accepted. Wallahu A'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala Rasul.